This is Nighttime Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Bob Harris along with Scott Sorum. And tonight, it is our Archimacallit segment. We're taking a look at what's happening in the arts world around the area with Chris Kurzman from theartspartnership.net. And he heads up, of course, the Arts Pulse blog on that very website as well. And Chris, welcome back.
Hey,
and
thank you.
We mentioned a couple of days ago, because we saw your video, congratulations to you and the missus there, Britta.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, we are expecting our second child. November 3rd is the due date. I've been telling people if he or she is born on November 5th, we get to name him or her after a character from V for Vendetta. If you remember that, the movie and the comic book all has to do with remember the 5th of November. So I'm sure my wife would just as soon not go past the due date, but I'm sort of pulling for that. But yeah, it'll be exciting.
And your little daughter is excited?
Oh, yeah. So a friend of ours, our friend Penny Burns, she just started sort of a videography business called Northern Stories. And so she offered to shoot this video of us telling our daughter Edie, who will be 5 in August. And so we actually went to the gazebo in Island Park. That's where Britta and I got married. And we had Edie write it out. We told her the letters to write out the sign that says, I'm going to be a big sister. And of course, she didn't quite know it. She knows the letters. She didn't quite know the words. So then we read it to her, and then she had a big, what? Kind of a moment. It was great. It was fantastic.
And by the way, Dad dances a little bit too in there.
Oh,
where
Lord.
Can people see that, by the way? Is that on Arts Pulse?
No. That's not on Arts Pulse. If you Google, if you really have to see it, if you want to see me dance, Google Penny Burns and Northern Stories. And I think it's on her Vimeo page.
Can I podcast that? I mean, can I put that on my blog?
Yes, you can.
Can I?
Yeah,
I don't know if I can or not, but I mean, is it technically possible for me to
do
that?
Oh, it is. It should be technically possible,
right,
as far as I know.
You keep an eye on the blog, and we'll try and do that. Okay.
Let's do that because we're helping Penny out, not because we want to watch Chris dance.
Yeah, we want to watch Chris dance. Yeah. We want Chris. And more than that, we want to see the excitement in your little daughter's eyes.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, it's fantastic.
All right, what's coming up here around the week around the this arts scene this week, besides that big old running thing they got going? Over at the MCM, which is the Moorhead Center Mall, they've got the robot play, and I hear you're part of it.
So this past week, an artist by the name of Heather Zinger, who works as an artist organizer for an organization called Springboard for the Arts, she's put together a week of activities in different places: Fergus Falls, Moorhead, Detroit Lakes. And the stuff that she's doing in Moorhead, a lot of it has to do with this play that she's written called P.S. In the Future, You Won't Be Needed, or P.S. You Won't Be Needed in the Future. And she did this when she used to live out in Portland. She did it a couple years ago. And she had people on Tuesday, she had volunteers come and build robot costumes from cardboard boxes and tinfoil, which is, you know, that's how you make the classic robot costume. And then she has this little play that she wrote, and it's funny. It's a funny play, and of course, it's people in robot costumes, so it can't be all that serious. But it's actually inspired by a book by a writer named Sherry Turkle, who wrote a book called Alone Together, and it's about the effect of how prevalent screens are in our lives and how prevalent technology is in our life. And specifically, it has to do with I guess at some point in the future, it might be possible for robots to provide people with like nursing home care. And when they asked people whether that was okay, a good chunk of them said, you know what? I don't know that I'd mind that. And so Sherry Turkle and Heather Zinger are both really concerned with that question of just how comfortable are we giving control of our lives over to machines. And specifically in terms of this week that she's doing, to things like our gadgets and our TVs and all that kind of stuff.
Our phones.
Exactly, yeah. And like you said, I'll be part of it. I'm going to be reading as like a robot dad or something on Friday. it's at 6:30 p.m. It's at the Moorhead Center Mall. Heather's been working with their director, Melissa Rademacher, on one of the spaces in the Moorhead Center Mall becoming an art lab. So sort of a project space, a place where people can gather and stuff. And so I don't think I'm going to be in a robot costume, but I might be, I guess. I don't know. But I'll be reading a part on that. And I've also been trying to do screen free week. So obviously for work, most of us can't get away from screens, and I can't either. But at home in the evenings, I've been trying to do activities with my daughter that don't use TV or use our gadgets. So we've been playing a lot of board games. Last night we put together a puzzle. We read books, all kinds of stuff to sort of take a break from, relying on screens for entertainment. It's been pretty cool.
It's although, a good idea, man.
Really every once in a while, I think it's really good for people to unplug.
And by the way, on the Arts Pulse blog, you will be able to see some of the robots. I don't think they're from here. Must be a different one of their, but they're one that does look like Rosie the robot from the Jetsons.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. that's from when Heather did this pretty much the same play out in Portland, Oregon when she lived out there. So it's pretty crazy. And she's done a lot of other stuff. This morning, she was out in front of Moxie Java in Moorhead, and she put up a sign that said, "Come be bored with me." And the rule is you sit down with her and you don't talk. So the whole thing was to get people sort of into this space where they don't talk to each other. They don't do anything. And she's full of stuff like that. She's got all sorts of great stuff she comes up with. I love it.
We're going to take a break here real quick. I want to bump up one here. I want to go to the Studio 222 thing real quick because we don't have a total amount of info on that. But tell us what's coming up there.
Yeah. So Studio 222 has been doing this series of fairly major jazz artists coming in. And Studio 222 is a pretty small, very intimate space, perfect for jazz.
Right.
And they have a trumpet player coming in by the name of Marvin Stamm. And I had to look him up. I confess didn't really know a whole lot about him, but he did a version of Straight No Chaser by Thelonious Monk that was awesome. So he'll be at Studio 22. I think the show starts at 8 p.m. and the tickets are $30. But I think that's because this guy really brings the goods. If you're a jazz fan, I found a video on YouTube of actually the Straight No Chaser, and that's up on the Arts Pulse blog. Check it out and go see this guy.
All right, very good. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of our Archie McCullough segment with Chris Kurzman in a moment here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. We continue on. This is Archie McCullough with Chris Kurzman from the Arts Pulse blog on the artspartnership.net, talking about some of the happenings coming up this weekend and the days to come. FM Chamber Chorale is in action on Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. The FM Chamber Chorale, a fairly little known group, all things considered, I guess. But this is a really fantastic vocal group if you like vocal music. They're community members, but this is an audition process. So these are some pretty top-notch singers. They'll be doing their spring concert this Saturday at the Concordia Centrum, starting at 7:30 on Saturday. Tickets, I think, start at $15 for adults, $12 for seniors, and I think $5 for students. It's been a while since I've caught up with the chorale, but if you were to check around on the Arts Pulse blog or maybe go to our old Vimeo page, you can find some video that I've done with them and a story that I wrote up on them. And they're very, very talented. I sort of have a thing for choral music and voice music. And a lot of it kind of stems from getting out to see groups like this live. I think you could probably listen to them if you listen to, classical radio or if you, listen to some online or something. It's a little hard to sometimes really hear what's going on. But I think if you get out and see people sing live, this is some really fantastic music. And in celebration of spring, the program they put together is called Songs of Nature. So they're all songs that have to do with the natural world. So finally welcome. Welcome our spring that finally came, I guess.
And okay, that's Saturday night at what time again?
7:30 p.m. At the Concordia Centrum.
Centrum, okay. I just wanted to see if you could get Concordia Centrum out again.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Here's something that I find really interesting. The Natural Disasters Expo, I think this is going to be ever at the, was it the MCOM Center?
Yeah. This is at the Historical and Cultural Society of Clay County. Whatever. Which is at the MCOM Center, just to get all that stuff out. This is actually ongoing through May 26th, I believe. But if you're, it's hard to say people are fans of natural disasters, but I think a lot of us are drawn to, or we're certainly interested in the role that natural disasters play in our lives. So in cooperation with the Minnesota State Historical Society, they've put together an exhibition that sort of documents natural disasters in Minnesota throughout history. And those include, you know, the snowstorms that, you know, your grandpa talks about where, you know, the snow covered the cars and covered the houses, to things like the 35W bridge collapse back in 2007. You know, various floods, obviously, is dealt with there as well. And I think it's really interesting because this was actually a submitted story by a class of composition students that I'm working with over at NDSU.
Oh, okay.
And they submitted a really nice story. And one of the things they mention is there are these elements of beauty in disasters, you know, from aerial photography of, you know, place that's been hit by a tornado. It's hard to call it beautiful because it's not, you know, pretty. It's not, you know, it's not something we really want to look at, but they're the things that also remind us of like the terrible force of nature. I don't know if, you know, there's thunderstorms all around tonight. I don't know if we want to tempt any fate or anything, but there's certainly, I think, a lot of fascination that we have with, you know, just what nature can do.
There was one, by the way, there was a grasshopper one too.
Yeah.
A grasshopper phenomenon from on the Probst Field.
Yeah. So they mention they have a journal entry from the Probst Field family diary is how it's mentioned in the story. And they talk about how awful these grasshoppers were. And then right next to it is something from the Red River Valley. I think it was the Red River Valley Star at the time. I'm forgetting the years on it, but and the account in the paper is sort of plays down the grasshopper plague in order because they didn't want to scare off businesses. They didn't want to scare people off. So you have these two different accounts right next to each other of how something super awful and something, well, it's not so bad. And how, you know, those kind of politics, those politics still kind of go around natural disasters, who gets FEMA funding and stuff like that. And it's really interesting. It's a really, really great idea for an exhibition of, you know, a great way to sort of, put brackets around something that we experience and, to give it some historical depth.
We're getting a little short on time. Let's touch briefly. We got the Woodcarvers, show coming up.
Well, actually, they wanted to bring this up because last week I followed the Red River Valley Woodcarvers to they did a demonstration at Washington Elementary, and they were teaching wood carving to some fifth graders, some fifth grade art students. And so I tagged along with my camera. If you visit Arts Pulse, you can find a few photos of that going on. But the one thing that I have to add is, you know, the photos are basically, and incidentally, they're not with knives carving wood. They have like sharpened sticks and they're carving soap. So I was really curious, like, what are these kids? These are 12-year-old kids. They've got iPads and Xboxes and Nintendo DSs and stuff. What are they going to think about carving? You know, this thing that we associate with, you know, retirees and whatnot. And they were so into it. I was just amazed. They were all super quiet. They were really, really,
concentrating.
Yep, they were concentrating really hard. And this one kid like made a logo for a hockey team. And then this girl comes up to me and she says, "I really want to. I want to do this. I want to keep doing this. And I want to somehow work in it because I really like soccer. And I really want to like put somehow do some carvings about soccer and golf. Like, I play golf too. And I was just amazed. You know, if you're out there and you think, like, man, the next generation of kids, I don't know, we're in good hands.
Yep. It's a lot different than whittling, by the way. So, yeah. Okay, we've got the artspartnership.net. That's the website. Arts Pulse blog is there as well. And you can get a newsletter from you guys too, right?
That's right. We do a weekly newsletter. It goes out every Thursday. Gives you a rundown of stuff we've covered on the blog, and then also has a handy little arts calendar there so you can find the next great event to go to.
Arts, all right. This has been Archibald Collin on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Chris Kersbins, thanks for stopping in tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you, Bob.